Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's news radio.
LeBron got his 30,000, but San Antonio got the win. Mike Snyder's taking sports in 4 minutes for you. It is Will's Ways to Save. Matt Granite, Channel 3's morning news is in. He's always a looking ahead for us, and he knows that Valentine's Day is coming up in a couple of weeks, so he's already looking at some deals and some opportunities for you. Hi, Matt. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Yeah, this is a time to celebrate your Valentine. And we're going to do it on a dime. I'm not saying she's not worth it. I was out with my Valentine last night. Great meal. Everything awesome.
Nice.
But the main reason I want to make sure that things get taken care of properly, massages, spas, all those other gifts, one of the most requested items within Northeast Ohio. And I'm thinking if we could get the ultimate massage system for under $40, you're going to be way ahead of the game this Valentine's Day.
I can only speak from my past experience with my Valentine. You walk in with a box of chocolate, or you say you'll do a neck rub for a half hour, put the chocolate down, she'll want the neck rub.
It depends on the person. So I've been told that my attempts at massages are both offensive and useless.
Well, that's you know, you got to have the talent, buddy. So sell me some talent this morning. What do you have?
The talent is let the machine do its job.
Okay.
It's a massage system, which is robotic, infrared heating, has all of the deep kneading modes, 8 different programmable units. You can lie on it. You can put it in other areas of your body that need circulation. All health benefits tied to this particular massage unit. So obviously this is you and I talking.
Yep.
I figured
yep.
we might as well get a woman's opinion right now.
Go to an expert. Daria with you?
Yeah, Daria's with me. So first of all, Daria, who co-hosts with me at YouTube and Amazon, has all this really good athletic training behind her. She is an Olympic gymnast, but also someone who I think would like this for Valentine's Day.
Oh, absolutely. It makes for an amazing Valentine's Day present. You don't have to use it just for the one day. You get to use it all year round, but the gift itself is going to be amazing. Plus, with all the health benefits that it gives you, it lets you relax, it lets all your muscles just de-stress, and you get to just enjoy having a nice massage without the price of a massage.
Good point. Okay, I like that. And you know what, Matt? So many of us making New Year's resolutions, and you've got some soreness. Well, this would be a great gift for everybody then.
Absolutely.
I'm
with you on that. We got Daria's approval.
Excellent.
And a lot of other people. We looked at the reviews, one of the top-rated units, WTAM.com. Keyword save, under $40. And I'm telling you, way better than anything I could do on my own.
Good help from Daria, too. Thank you. You can see more at Wills and Snyder webpage at WTAM.com. Use the keyword save. Matt Granite back tomorrow with another deal on Wills Ways to Save. Watch him on 3 this morning and back here same time in the morning. All right, guys, thanks much. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Awesome.
Mike Snyder, Sports Mornings at 15 and 45 past. You know, I was thinking this morning coming in, we'll be talking a lot about Jim Thome. Hall of Fame looks like it's a no-brainer tonight for him.
Right.
First ballot, first time since Feller, as far as an Indian goes.
Yeah.
At 5:50, my conversation with Jim from 2011, the weekend that he was recognized. We watched his greatness here, and at times we maybe took it for granted. And a lot of people were angry when he left.
Yeah.
But he's going to the Hall. And you know what? In a way, I think LeBron, 30,000 points.
Yeah.
There's drama. But look what we've been witnessing, very special. Right?
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
You need to stop and appreciate what you had. Yeah. You know, you mentioned those 90s teams were just great with Thome, that incredible lineup. And LeBron James, these are bad times right now for the Cavaliers, but what an incredible accomplishment. The Cavaliers continued losing last night. They fell to the Spurs 114-102, but there was this.
LeBron James dribbles up near the timeline. He has scored 29,999 points in his NBA career. LeBron James dribbles between his legs, fires a 20-footer. He knocks it down, and there it is. LeBron James has become the youngest ever to 30,000 as the kid from Akron rewrites the history books once again.
That came at the end of the first quarter. It actually gave the Cavs a 29-25 lead. And then afterwards, here's what he had to say about joining a club the fastest than ever as the youngest, joining a club that includes only Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Karl Malone, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, Dirk Nowitzki, and now him.
It's a special moment. You know, it's just I just started thinking about everything that, my journey. You know, my journey from being a kid that first picked up a basketball when I was 5 years old to first starting playing organized basketball when I was 9. You know, I give a lot of thanks to a lot of people.
Well, we've seen much of that journey here as he grew up in, of course, at Saint in Akron, and then, of course, his high school ball at St. Vincent, St. Mary, and all the attention that he had coming into the NBA, and boy, he has lived up to that billing. Now, his current basketball team has dropped 10 of 13. Again, they couldn't stop San Antonio, a Spurs team that was minus four key players, and they just really still sliced the Cavaliers, leaving Coach Lou at the very end of his press conference last night to say,
"I'm going to make a change. Oh, I'm not going to tell you."
All right, he is going to make a change. And
I'll tell you later.
I don't know what he'll tell us or who he's going to tell already. I guess J.R. Smith told ESPN.com, "Hey, if it's me, I get it," because J.R. has been in a funk. There have been a lot of others, and that's one reason why Lou has been hesitant maybe to make a change rather than pointing the finger at any one guy. But it's time to do something. So the Cavs are off today. They'll practice tomorrow, host Indiana Friday. We probably will find out Thursday what the move is. On a night in which LeBron passed 30,000, Kevin Love was named to an all-star game. We've got trade winds blowing. The one that seems to have the most legs to it, Cavs have an interest in veteran guard George Hill from Sacramento. It might cost them Damon Shumpert and Channing Frye. Stay tuned on that. Big night in baseball again, as Bill said. Jim Thome, we should know after six tonight, and he looks like he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He should be. One other baseball note: Indians are going to go to arbitration with Trevor Bauer. He wants over $6.5 million. Indians offering 5.2. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
Pay him for stuff that's imported. Trump administration hanging down some tariffs yesterday. Solar panels, the big headline, but it. This thing touches maybe a lot of different products that could be on your shopping list. Bill Zimfer's got the story for me and us this morning. Hi, Bill. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Bill. Yeah, these tariffs announced by the Trump administration potentially touching off a trade war around the world. Of course, the first target was washing machines and solar panels, as you said. China and South Korea both reacting negatively. South Korea, as a matter of fact, saying it could be a violation of the World Trade Center or World Trade Organization provisions. China says they have strong dissatisfaction for this move and where they will defend its legitimate interests. But here's the thing. What's next? Steel and aluminum could be next, which could be another huge impact and perhaps touch off even more trade war between the United States, China, South Korea, and other countries as well.
President Trump already wants to get us out or renegotiate NAFTA and these tariffs. This is kind of a redo of American policy, I think, Bill.
Yeah, it is. And they're trying as we speak. They're talking about NAFTA over at the World Economic Forum. Of course, Justin Trudeau yesterday was one of the speakers there, the Prime Minister of Canada. He talked about the necessity of NAFTA and said they're doing their best to convince their neighbors to the south, meaning the U.S. and Donald Trump, that NAFTA is a good thing.
All right, Bill Zimfer on it. President Trump heads over to Davos for the next couple of days, talking world economics and all. All right, Bill, thanks much.
You're welcome, Bill.
Meanwhile, back here, government reopened, but they're already drawing some lines on the next round of negotiations. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
He made an offer for a wall. I said, if we do full Dreamers, we'll give you the deal. And he basically agreed. So we were close. Then he pulled out and backed off. So now I've taken the wall off the table because they backed out of that deal.
Interesting headline that did make news yesterday. ABC political analyst Alex Castellanos. On the deal that did get done, and really, you know, Trump, on one hand, I think you got to hand it to him. I mean, he kind of stayed on the sidelines. He did a little bit of tweeting, but maybe him publicly out of the picture helped get this thing done, Alex?
Well, I think this was actually one of those rare things where everybody won a little bit in Washington. Chuck Schumer's getting a bad rap, but he did his job. He had red state Democrats like Claire McCaskill running for re-election who didn't want a government shutdown hanging around their necks in coming election. He protected them. The Democratic left got an issue. Oh, those nasty Republicans wanted to shut down the government. So they're happy with Chuck Schumer just because they can blame him. Republicans kept the doors open. Donald Trump got another deal done. Everybody won a little bit.
Pretty good civics lesson, too, Alex, when it comes to the work of the Senate. One senator can hold everything up, right?
It is. It is. The greatest deliberative body can also be the greatest clogged up body. But you know, Donald Trump put the heat on them. His uncertainty, his erratic style, his unpredictability made the Senate throw up their hands and say, look, we don't know what this guy wants. We've got to figure this out ourselves. And they actually did.
Let me ask you about Trump over the weekend. I know he tweeted a little bit. He didn't get to go to Mar-a-Lago, but maybe some, you know, maybe some discipline on his end working behind the scenes helped this thing?
I think you picked up on the big story on this. Democrats were counting on Donald Trump to blow up, to blow this process up over the weekend, and he didn't. He backed up. He stayed off Twitter and let that spotlight be on the Democrats, and I think that's one reason Chuck Schumer came to the table.
Good take. We may all be back here, though, in a few weeks, and Alex Castellanos will keep a sharp eye. Thanks, Alex.
Good to be with you.
Fox's Laura Ingraham says Trump basically shut down the Democrats completely on the deal. Interesting different takes yesterday. And, of course, Rush Limbaugh had his as well. I catch Rush again today following the news at noon on News Radio WTAM 1100. Jim, as you and I literally visit on a Sunday afternoon, there's been many Septembers, many Sundays like this as the season starts to wind down. But what a weekend for you. Can you even begin to go back and think about Friday? What a whirlwind weekend, a whirlwind month for Jim Thome.
Well, it's really been a whirlwind 2 months, to be honest, you know, from hitting 600 to then obviously going through the waiver deadline and then coming over here, which was so exciting and, you know, I think kind of surreal, to be honest, when I got the opportunity to come back and get an opportunity not only, you know, get back in the organization, but see all the old fans that you saw for years and years. And then this weekend, you know, my family got an opportunity to come up, you know, be a part of a special weekend. And it's been, as you said, I think the best word to describe it has been a whirlwind. It'll be nice after the season to kind of go home and reflect on this year, sit down, have a little time, play with my kids, and, you know, and then see where we're at for next year.
Mike Hegan was recognized for 50 years of baseball, too, this weekend. And I said to Mike that, you know, the two of you in your careers, you've watched from the dugout a lot of times a ceremony and a guy.
Yeah.
But Friday night, it was you.
Yes. And again, you kind of use that term as a player. You know, when a baseball game stops, I remember in Minnesota when I tied Killebrew and then went ahead of him, they stopped the game. They had him come on to the Jumbotron and talk and say a few things. And, you know, and it's kind of, again, I mean, I was very, very lucky to play with guys like Eddie Murray and Winfield and watched as their great careers winded down and always imagined, man, what it would be like if that was ever you. And then when it happens and you're able to get that opportunity where an organization thinks that highly of you, the statue thing really is overwhelming. I mean, how do you ever, as a kid, you play Little League, then you go through high school, and then you progress at each level, and to get that was just, I mean, just very, very special.
Let me pick up on that. At Central College, the baseball stadium is named after you back in Illinois.
Yeah.
Statues are put up, and it dawns on me when a statue is there, you don't have to make an introduction. People know. There's a Bob Feller statue.
Yeah.
There's now a Jim Thome statue. Johnny Bench retired 10 years before you started playing. They just put a statue of him up in Riverfront, or what is now the new facility in Cincinnati, 30 years after he played. I mean, a little perspective, Jim. That's special.
It is. It is. And I think it's something, you know, you never want to take for granted. You always look at that. Again, you can't imagine it. It's not something you play when you start playing. You think, I want a statue.
Did you know that Friday night?
I did not, you know, and when it happened, you know, I had to take a moment. My wife was very, very emotional about it, and then my family, and they all got an opportunity to be a part of it. When I saw Andrea, that kind of put it in perspective for me because, you know, really that's, it's a reflection not only of your family, your name, but the organization as well.
Jim, two other questions. You mentioned Andrea, and it dawned on me in watching you Friday night. Well, you came back here as a father, a family man.
Yeah.
That's kind of different for us to look at Jim Thome a little bit. I see your kids. I see the importance of that to you. That means a lot.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best. That's the next chapter of my life. You know, it is the chapter of my life now, but it will be the most important, you know, chapter as I end my career and get close to that. And, you know, my kids are, you know, they're everything. You know, it's been a lot of fun watching them and, you know, and being around them as much as I can.
Home runs. You hit 90 off a first pitch, 82 off 3-2 counts. Rick Reed gave up 9 to you, and Roger Clemens gave up 8. I just mention those names because you talk about you don't go to the plate thinking you're going to hit a home run. Doesn't happen
right,
that way.
Right.
Yet those are some pretty impressive pitchers, and just off the first pitch and the 3-2 count,
yeah,
which is the ultimate in baseball, you know?
Yeah. I mean, again, as I don't think you really think about it. I think my dad told me one time, he goes, Jim, I think when you put the ball in play on the first pitch, your average or a number is really, really good. He always reminds me that even today, you know, he'll
say change from Little League.
If I take a fastball for the first pitch, he won't look at like a home run I did or something good I did. He'll say, oh, you didn't swing at that first pitch. But, I mean, again, you go through your career, I guess they break down the numbers and they go over things. And, you know, it's been a wonderful ride. It's been a long journey. And it's obviously been a joy. There's no question.
Hey, finally, the pickle bucket in Winter Haven. I have images of Charlie Manuel walking around. The pickle bucket is overflowing with baseballs, and big old bucket. And you guys are going to the batting cage.
Yep.
The pride of Buena Vista, Virginia. He meant a lot to you, didn't he? And still does.
I mean, everything. I mean, you know, if you're lucky as a player to get an opportunity to, you know, have someone that you can really look up to and that you can say had a huge impact on your career. I mean, again, I've been very lucky to say that was him. You know, he pretty much hung himself on the line for me, you know, as a young player. I mean, I struggled. I came up, you know, I struggled defensively, you know, offensively. I was not established. He put confidence, built confidence in all of us, especially me. And, you know, now looking back, you know, and I've said this, he deserves everything that's coming his way. You know, good things happen to great baseball men, and he sure is that, no question.
And you're one of the greats, too. Jim, thank you for your time and for bringing some great memories back this month for us.
Thank you.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Let's get out and about. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Normally writes about beer and different events, plus some restaurants he comes across. Got an interesting review of Ruth's Chris I want to get to first, and then we get some news involving beer and Applebee's, but I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Hi, Mark. How are you this morning?
I'm good, Bill. You're making me hungry talking about this.
Well, your review made me hungry. Let me go into the steakhouse business, if you will. As you write in your review at Cleveland.com, we are blessed. A lot of high-end chain steakhouses. We've got Morton's and Hyde Park and Capital Grill and Fleming's, and you got the XO and you got the Diamond Grill. And Ruth's Chris has been in the market for, it's the one-year anniversary, right?
Yeah, they're coming up on it. It'll 1 year anniversary. That's right. It is coming up pretty soon. And it's amazing when you list off the litany of names like that. You know, I always hear from people saying, oh, that's too expensive. This place is too expensive. But you know what? The market is sustaining it. I mean, you just named places that are both nationally owned as well as locally owned. Ruth's Chris was in this market and they left, the suburbs. I think they were out in Woodmere, left around 2006. Now they're back in. Came in last year doing a bang-up job. It is pricey, but it is absolutely delicious. And I love the little spins that places can put on their steaks and on their service. Service was excellent, but what I really liked is the hot plates that the food comes out on, 500-degree plates. Your food doesn't get cold. Your steaks will even cook a little bit while they're right in front of you. Really a great experience. I was very pleased, and they also have seafood as well, and they're not giving short shrift to that. So it was a tasty meal, a really excellent service, especially for people who like wine. It had a very knowledgeable server. You know, it's right downtown. It's right in Public Square, so it was a great experience.
You know, you're not going to these places every week, unless, of course, you've got, you know, like Mike Snyder's expense account, you know. So I mean, you pick a nice place to go, you want to enjoy a nice meal, and you want to be treated nicely, and that's what you got, it sounds like.
That's exactly my approach to dining out as well. And I'm going to have things when I go out that that I or my wife are not going to make it home.
So, right.
You know, a special cut of beef. These sides, by the way, at these places are eminently very, very shareable. So if you're with, you know, another mm-hmm. person or with several people, always consider that they're shareable. It makes for a nice communal experience as well.
Good review of Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Now coming up on the one-year anniversary back downtown at Public Square. Mark Bona's review, you can see it at cleveland.com. Couple other stories I want to work in here with you this week. Tell me about Southern Tier. They're moving into Ohio.
Yeah, this was a very, very unique announcement last week. You know, we've talked for so long now. You know, we're in the middle, Bill. You and I have been talking about beer for 2 years now.
Fantastic.
And it is fantastic, and it's amazing. There's never a shortage of anything to talk about because, you know, there's so much. The growth is on two levels when it comes to beer in Northeast Ohio. You've got new breweries that are starting, and then you've got established ones that are expanding, either physically adding more tanks or they're adding distribution, and they're coming up with all these crazy styles and their takes on them. But there's another level of expansion, and that's a satellite brewery. So what's happening is out-of-region breweries are considering Cleveland to come in here and make beer and basically offer a brewery and a tap room to get the word out. This gives them a lot of exposure, and it does so in an area that is extraordinarily competitive. And that's always my first question when I talk to brewers. So I talked to the founder of Southern Tier and said, why are you coming into Cleveland? I mean, the shelves are crowded in grocery stores. We've got breweries now as neighborhood bars on every other corner, it seems like. They recognize the competition. They love the market. Ohio is one of their four core states, and they're going into the old 811 kitchen spot. This is right smack dab in the heart of the Gateway District across from the Winking Lizard.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the, you know, if you're a beer geek, you know Southern Tier. They make a ton of beers. A lot are in bomber bottles. They're crazy. They even have a beer that's made, I think they call it creme brulee. They have a lot of crazy ales out there, but the one that the average beer drinker might recognize them for, one of their main flagships is Pumpkin. This is a bright orange 22-ounce bomber bottle. It's a pumpkin ale. It's one of the first pumpkin ales that comes out every year. It's on shelves everywhere. It's in bars. Very divisive beer. I mean, people either absolutely love this or they say, nah, it's too much, it's too sweet. But they make a lot of good beers. It'll be interesting to try some of the other ones they're coming in with. Like I said, I talked to Finn Demink, the co-founder, and he is very, very interested in seeing the residual effect in terms of sales for their brewery. So this is interesting. We only have two like this, by the way. We have Bad Tom Smith out of Cincinnati, opened in December in Ohio City, and now we've got Southern Tier from New York coming into the Gateway District.
Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. Before I get you out of here, some local beer news involving the chain Applebee's and Thirsty Dog. What'd they agree to?
Yeah, this was another unique deal that kind of came out of nowhere last week. Thirsty Dog last year started making a beer called Bloodhound Blood Orange India Pale Ale. They make this with blood oranges. I've had several blood orange ales. They've become very popular in the last couple of years. Very fresh tasting. I really like this one a lot. This might have been my favorite of all the commercially made ones over the last couple of years. Mm. So John Neway and Applebee started talking, and even though it was out of season, he agreed to make a batch for them. And they're the only ones that have it. So they made the batch. Applebee's has it. And he's going to split the year with another new seasonal that is coming out either this week or next week. He's just about ready to release a pineapple IPA.
Mm.
So they're going to share the year, basically. You'll have Bloodhound will usually be available April through October. Pineapple IPA will be available November through April. So you've got some crazy flavors that are out there, but, you know, there's an Applebee's on every corner.
Oh, yeah.
So it was fun. A good little deal for Neway and for Applebee's.
Fun stuff. And, again, Mark Bona, follow him on Twitter, at mbona30, cleveland.com, Plain Dealer, what we're talking about, including the review at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse and the Thirsty Dog deal with Applebee's and Southern Tier, another selection for beer for you to look for. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com, as we get out and about at some restaurants and some different places. Good stuff as always. Mark, thanks much.
Thank you, Bill.
And a big story will play out for Indians fans in our town later this evening, probably after 6 o'clock, when the call should come from Cooperstown. Jim, come on up. Let's talk some Tribe. Jim Thome and Jim Rosenhaus, kind enough to join us this morning. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Hello, Mr. Rosenhaus.
Good morning, Bill.
Before we get to the topic at hand, you are the first Indians official I have come across since Tribe Fest. Congratulations. Tip of the hat. What a success at the convention center. Rave reviews. Fans had fun. What a weekend. What a day we had.
It was tremendous, Bill, and a record crowd. Up by more than 60% from a year ago, over 11,000 people at the convention center. What a great venue it is. You haven't been down there for an event. Man, that's an awesome space, and the Indians used it well. It kind of alleviated some of the, in past TriFest, it was a little crowded, but that was not the case on Saturday, even with all those people there. So great event. Great to see the players there. They're fired up, Bill. They're ready to go.
That they are, Mike Snyder.
And I heard some of the interviews, Jim, and it's so great that so many, almost the entire roster came back for that, and they just seemed to really be embracing it, didn't they?
They sure did. And you know, it's that you're in the middle of the off season, and they're not quite ready to head out to Goodyear just yet, but you know, these guys spend so much time together during the summer, and then most of them don't see each other during the wintertime, so it's kind of fun to see your buddies again, and I think that's part of it. And then just the interaction with the kids, the way it was set up this year, they had a baseball field in part of the area, and a lot of the players were playing with kids who were 10 years old and younger, so what a thrill for those kids. And the kids on the Indians, I think, had some fun, too.
Now, that's good stuff, really good stuff. Can't wait for it all to begin. And tonight, as Bill mentioned, the big night, the Hall of Fame announcement, and certainly all signs point to Jim Thome getting in tonight. Jim, your thoughts about Thome?
Well, look, in terms of getting in on the first ballot, 8th in home runs all time, 26th in runs driven in, you can kind of stop right there. But I think the impact he had on a great era of Indians baseball here, that's got to come into play. And he will get in on the first ballot. He's tracking with the half the ballots reported at 93%. Only Chipper Jones is ahead of him at this point. I think Vlad Guerrero is tracking a little bit ahead of him. But, yes, absolute first ballot Hall of Famer. The name of the game is producing runs in his spot, and he did it as well as anybody in his era.
And, you know, and it's a great story from the standpoint that coming up the ranks, it was not like he was the number one overall pick. People didn't look at him as that great of a prospect when he first joined the Indians organization.
13th round pick out of a small college. And it just shows if you are good, if you have talent and work at it, good things can happen. And then the scouts find those guys, even if they don't go to the big-time schools. And, gosh, there's so many Hall of Famers who were not first-round draft picks. And that's the bread and butter, I think, of any organization. And certainly for the Indians during that time, a lot of what they did was drafting and developing and building up the farm system. And it's interesting, you know, you look back and two of the longest-tenured Indians from that era were Jim Thome, parts of 13 seasons with the Tribe, and Charlie Nagy, parts of 13 seasons with the Tribe. And, in Jim's case, he was a 13th round pick, and that's a credit to him and the scout that found him.
Prior to Peoria, born 1970, his grandfather Chuck Thome, till he was in his 80s, spent Sunday mornings at the softball league. Whole family played, very athletic. I found a great quote out of Sports Illustrated on a profile of Thome. They went back to Peoria, and people said, yeah, he was pretty good, but his aunt, she could rip it. His aunt played semi-professional softball. So the whole family was athletic, Rosie.
And you wonder, too, if he was just a big, strong, like naturally big, strong guy. And you got to figure that's in the family, right?
Without a doubt. Jim Rosenhaus, same time tomorrow morning?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll have good news. No question about that for Jim Thome.
Let your people know. Thanks to your driver for handing the phone over, and we appreciate your time this morning.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime, Bill.
Thank you, Rosie. WTAM 1100, your morning Cavs update brought to you by Huntington Bank, one of a bank that believes in looking out for its customers. Welcome to Huntington. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. First round 86 draft, Chicago Bulls out of The Ohio State University, where Scott Scuderi's producer extraordinaire is wearing your sweatshirt today. Pro Bowl in France, Spain, Israel, currently post-game analyst on the Cavs radio network, and in his spare time, the mayor of Warrensville Heights. How about that introduction, Brad Sellers?
That's awesome, Bill.
You like that? Did I read everything you sent me?
You got it, man.
All right, buddy.
Man, I don't think you left any stone unturned.
All right, LeBron gets to 30,000. Sadly, though, another loss for this team. What do you make of this?
Well, you know, obviously, 30,000, it speaks for itself. I mean, it's like a plateau that people just can't imagine how long and how much work it takes to get there. But on the flip side, we continue to be in the mud that we're stuck in, and it's getting hard to watch.
That it is, Brad, and the coach is tired of watching what he's been putting out there. He's going to make a change. A lot of speculation as to what he may do. I know you and I talked about it after the game last night. What would you like to see? Just in your mind, play a little coach here. What would you like to see him do?
Well, you know, Mike, you know, here, this is not like it crept up a few days ago. This has been going on for a month and a half. And it's the combination of certain new guys in trying to get rhythms together. It's out of sync. So when it's out of sync, you have to make adjustments. You just can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. I think that's what Coach Lewis got to the point last night, at least in his press conference after the game. He said it's time to make a change, but that change could probably come a couple games ago.
Now you're looking at some of the guys. Jeff Green, Derrick Rose have shown a little zest. You know, Brad, the thing is, when you look at it, they've really looked old and slow, and then they look like they're young, making mistakes. That's not a good combination, is it?
Well, you're taking to the games are coming to labor. I don't see anybody that's really having any fun playing. Well, nobody has fun losing. Let's be clear on that. But the fact of the matter is that it's just not clicking at this point in time. And now you got some serious issues. You got some defensive issues out here. You've got the inability to be healthy and scoring. Isaiah's working himself back. So you got a multitude of things. Rose is coming back. Multitude of things going on. We just got to figure out how to turn the tide in. Sometimes you just have to shock the system. You do.
Now, they had a meeting that was fiery, emotional, some finger-pointing. Brad, to get through this, can these guys buy in for each other right now? Isn't that kind of what we're looking for, the Cavs motto, all for one, one for all, and we're not seeing that?
Absolutely. And I think I said it this weekend. I said it again last night. Here, we've got time to make a turn. But this game requires some honesty, right? And it's a basic principle. I don't care if you're playing CYO basketball, travel league, AAU. If you get it done on the floor, you can stay out here. If you don't get it done, you can't be out here. It's just that simple. And I don't care who it is, right? It keeps everybody honest. It keeps the locker room honest, too, because when you ignore that, what it looks like is like you're playing favorites against people. And that's a quick recipe to sink a ship.
Good take, Brad Sellers, Indiana here on Friday night. Brad, thanks, pal. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.